Everybody, welcome to Blockbusting, the podcast where we love to hate the movies. I'm your host, Jay Light. Joining me today, it's a rare twofer on an episode. We have the hosts of the Aged Like Milk podcast, David Rogers and Paris Herbert what Taylor.
Up? Hi, it's Hi. Us.
Thanks for having us.
This is our first on-screen appearance together, yeah. I believe. Yeah, we don't record our podcasts with our faces, so some people may be shocked to find out that David William Rogers is actually a bald biracial man because we never mention that on our podcast ever.
Wow.
So.
Oh my God. Yeah. We were talking about MasterChef before this, and you do look like a very famous MasterChef contestant.
I think, actually, I know who you're talking about. He's got a little facial hair, too.
Uh-huh. And his name is also David.
Is it David? Okay.
It's actually this guy right here. Surprise! He's
Chop
a really
good. You're a professional Magic the Gathering player. You know how to cook.
Yep. Definitely sounds like you.
Was he on an HBO Max show, too, recently?
He might have been.
Yeah.
He's a poker player, too. He does all the card games.
Damn.
Poker.
Got a lot going on.
Magic the Gathering.
Chef.
Yeah.
Chefing.
You know how it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He had a tantrum on an episode. He almost walked off the show. It was...
We love that. That's love great that. TV right
someone
there.
Someone didn't go with what he played in Magic the Gathering.
Yeah. Someone rolled a 7.
Yeah.
And,
that's a no-go.
They
when
have
the
to
ogres are out.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't have enough mana taps to cook
he was
the
like,
fish.
I'm out of here. Yeah. To cook the fish.
Well, I'm excited. Y'all have a great movie-type podcast that people should listen to, especially if they like this show, Aged Like Milk.
Yep. Mm-hmm. David's wearing the merch right now, which is one of three hoodies that exist in the world right now.
Great logo, by the way.
Selling it as an NFT, and that's the only place you can get it.
Do you guys have merch?
No. I have stickers.
Okay, we have stickers.
But that's really about it. I think it might be about time to do some new merch.
Listen, I would be fucking thrilled if I saw someone walking around town in like a hoodie that I made. I'd be like, I don't know. I might explode.
That's pretty I'm there.
Crazy. That'd be great.
Made away.
I made it.
But Aged Like Milk, very fun show.
Thank you.
Talking about movies, how they've aged, if it's good, if it's bad, if it's problematic, which it seems like the answer is usually yes on those.
It's a mixed bag, yeah. I would say like anything before like 2006 is like pretty high chance that it's aged, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I buy that.
You start going down and, you know, you go to the 50s and there's definitely going to be something racist.
But it was a different time.
It was a different time. The milk was so fresh when we made it.
I ran into that when I did an episode a while back with my friend Lily Holloman about the Philadelphia Story, which... A classic, but also
Tom
from
Hanks,
the
Denzel.
50s.
Rough.
No,
not
that's Philadelphia. Also probably aged poorly.
Yeah.
This is about Jimmy Stewart being like an abusive alcoholic, but it's all done in fun and games.
Yeah,
and stuff.
So fun to be an alcoholic these days.
Course.
Speaking of David William Rogers, we should have cracked these open.
Yes.
We are not sponsored. Cheers. If you are an alcohol brand, we drink a lot on our podcast.
Get
and we
that.
Would happily take your money and your alcohol.
Get that Buddhist brand, y'all.
Yeah.
What you got black cherry? What is that?
Yep, black cherry.
Yeah, black cherry.
Nice.
It's most disgusting of flavors.
It is refreshing. Served ice cold.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is fitting to talk about, you know, y'all drinking at a time in a movie where the bar plays an important and vital role.
Yes.
That is 2016's Passengers.
Yes, this movie. I want to say up the top that I actually know one of the producers of this film, Ori Marmor. He was also a producer on a film that I worked on. And we always talk about in our podcast, like, even if a movie has aged badly or it's not amazing and we are about to eviscerate this film, we do acknowledge the contributions to the movie of everyone. And just because we don't love the film doesn't mean we don't love the people who made the film.
It's hard work getting these movies out, right?
Yeah.
Like you're on set for a lot of stuff. There's a lot that goes on behind the camera and behind what people see that final project. So there's a ton of people working back there. Blood, sweat, and tears, and they're putting, you know, 100% into it. So you got to love that part of it, even if it doesn't turn out sometimes the way they want it to, or the fans
and
don't
I think,
take it.
Especially with this movie, I feel like this is one of those movies that you could guess that the people working on it did not think they were making a bad movie.
No,
working on it.
I don't think anybody goes into it making a thinking that they're going to make a bad movie.
I think people figure it out maybe. Like halfway through that it's like,
it's a train wreck.
Dude, this is awful, right? I know,
but you're on the train.
Tell my family to skip past the credits on this one. They can walk. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this seems like from start to almost finish. Everybody involved in making this movie was like, we're going to make something really cool and interesting. You know, it had been in development hell for a really long time.
With Keanu Reeves' company.
Yeah. And I know Keanu Reeves was originally attached to play the Chris Pratt role. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Yeah, this has been in development. It was written in 2007.
It actually topped the Blacklist, which is a very prestigious list for scripts. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this earlier, but yeah. Different script. I read the script, different movie.
Oh,
very
wow.
Different. Yeah. Ooh. Yes.
I would love to know, because here's, if you haven't seen Passengers, listeners and viewers, Passengers is a movie that is about people on a giant space cruiser that is traveling to.
Yeah, like a cruise ship almost.
Yep. Yeah. And it's trying to colonize, they're trying to colonize a planet to emigrate from Earth to Homestead 2.
Homestead 2, yep.
And it is, all these people are in hibernation for a number of years, and the hibernation pods break. Chris Pratt wakes up. He's alone for a year. Then he sees Jennifer Lawrence just looking cute and asleep and thinks, I got to do something about this, and wakes her up from hibernation. And it gets real weird and creepy for like 2/3 of its running time.
Yeah. So basically, he'd been in hibernation for about 30 years. He finds out eventually when he's asking the program that's on the spaceship. And he's like, fuck, I got 90 years left to go. Mm-hmm. And he's talking to his bartender, who's a robot.
Android.
Yep. Yeah. And he just can't take it anymore. You see him go through like these highs and lows. He's playing basketball. He breaks into a suite. He's living his life. And then he falls into depression. He almost kills himself, throwing himself out of the airlock. And then he trips and falls right next to J-Law's pod and was like, you know what? I'm a passenger this chick.
That has actually become like an adjective in our lives. Like, I don't know where along the way, but like, if you don't want to do something or you get kind of roped into doing something, you passenger, you know, like against your will.
Yeah. No, that should be the tagline for this movie is y'all ready to get passenger?
It's really a question of consent, right? Like that's one of the main themes of this movie that does not work. Mm-hmm. He is lonely. She is asleep. He becomes obsessed with her. They have like these files where they're like talking. And so he feels like he knows everything about her.
Right.
And then he essentially like condemns her to the same like limbo life because, you know, I mean, I don't know how old he's supposed to be. In the original, he was supposed to be like 20. She was supposed to be like 24. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Chris Pratt is not 20 years old in this movie.
No.
But he's not going to be alive in 90 years when they arrive.
Either way. So she even says it's murder.
It's murder. Yeah. She took my life from me. And it's a very interesting question where you're like supposed to believe this love story. And you're like, this guy fucking killed her.
Yeah.
But she's still alive.
Yeah. It's what happened in the original script? How did it change so drastically to where it became?
It was actually the third act, which was very different. It was a much darker
thriller, sci-fi thriller.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So like, I think if I'm remembering correctly, there's some other like a situation that happens, and all of the stasis pods get like ejected with all the people inside.
That's right.
And the only people walking out onto Homestead 2 are Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence's characters. Offspring. So they did, humanity did make it to Homestead 2, but it's so just there.
There's a scene in it
where
where Jennifer Lawrence is like, this is the only part of me that's going to make it there. And there's a bunch of eggs and embryos like that are frozen on the ship from all the people that are on there, right? In the cargo. Okay. So what happens is Chris Pratt wakes up, same thing happens, right? For act one, act two. And then like another malfunction because that asteroid hit, right? It's going to be like a cascading effect where the ship's gonna eventually just break down. So that one of those things happens and it opens the airlock where all the people are in it. And if J-Law didn't get passengered, she would have been
so
dead
basically
too.
So saved her.
Saved
it's
her.
Different.
Yeah,
it's but, very different.
But I read something that this movie would have been totally different if you took it from J-Law's point of view. So you don't know that Chris Pratt woke her up until she finds out.
That would have been so creepy.
That's a that's a sci-fi thriller, and you can still have the same Lawrence Fishburne wakes up.
Yeah, it's like a Hal kind of like I can't do that.
Yeah,
Hal.
But it's you'd be so much more engaged as an audience member if they did it that way.
I think I 100% agree, and I remember reading that same thing. It's I know she did an interview where she talked about how she wished that that was the way it began, and I think that if they just made that one simple tweak in the edit where you start out with her waking up. And then she's wandering around. We don't see any of the first, 30 minutes or so where it's just Chris Pratt wandering around being sad and growing a beard and doing the whole Tom Hanks and Castaway thing. And then you at least have the chance to show all that stuff later on in flashback and have this sinisterness to it that it doesn't have, as opposed to it being a weird meet cute. Because
you're thinking, what's going on with Chris Pratt's character? Do you trust him? Do you not trust him? Like,
wow, this robot is really dropping some weird sentences here.
Yeah.
He was so excited to meet you. And she's like, what?
And that's a crazy part too, because the two of them are sitting there after a good date night and the android's like, or Jennifer Lawrence says, no secrets between us. Mm-hmm. And the android goes, is that right? To Chris Pratt. And Chris Pratt's like, you heard the lady.
Yep.
So in his mind, he's like, oh, well, she knows that he passengered.
He just gave her the A-OK.
Yeah,
she
so
got
he goes to the bathroom and that's why he tells her.
I totally misread. I read that a different way where I felt like it's Martin Sheen, right? Michael Sheen playing Arthur. Mm-hmm.
Martin Sheen would have been a very different
movie. Very different movie.
Good old president bartender. That
but I think I felt like he was like kind of turning evil-ish.
No, he gave, Chris Pratt gave him the go-ahead.
Yeah, I know.
Because they paused for a second and he goes,
but
so
it was kind of. Kind of sinister.
He's like, it's okay. Yeah, she totally knows. I'll let her in on the secret that it's not a secret. There's none. Mm-hmm. So the first time y'all saw this movie, because this is, again, before we watched, before we talked about this was going to be what we talked about, I'd never seen this movie. I'm not
a huge
sci-fi person. I'm just not a huge sci-fi person.
This was a big movie, though.
It was like $100 million budget.
Yeah, and I remember it was the number three at the box office out of the entirety of the year. And this came out pretty late in the year.
Yeah, and it got like a bunch of nominations, you know, it was like very hotly anticipated.
Yeah.
And then people, I think, started to be like, hang on a second.
Right,
yeah. Held up now.
You know, Morton Tilden, this was his first big movie right after The Imitation Game, so he's coming off of a bevy of huge accolades from directing that. Mm-hmm. And of course, Chris Pratt, Jennifer Lawrence, they're two of the biggest stars in America at the time. So I really just, as soon as people came out with reviews lambasting this movie, I was like, I don't guess I probably don't need to see that. So y'all saw it though. Y'all saw it in theaters?
Yes. Both of you?
Yeah.
Not together.
Yeah.
Not we together. We were not friends yet, unfortunately. Mm-mm.
I didn't even live in California.
Yeah, I didn't either. I was living in Toronto. You were in Wisconsin.
I went on a date. I was on a date with a trainer from my gym and I was like, oh, they got the nice new leather recliners at this theater. I'm going to take a little extra drive. Like, it's a winning cast. This is going to be amazing. And then we're sitting there talking at the end of the movie. And I was like, that did not come across.
Was this a first date?
I think it was like our second
movie
date.
Certainly a last date.
I think it was our second.
Yeah, this seems like a movie like, you can't see early on. Yeah,
it was like our second movie date. I think our first one was Tarzan. Okay. So I'd have to go back and check, but we saw
those
two.
So you were really like, these hot guys on screen are going to get her going.
They're
going
to pregame for me. I'm going to slide in.
I mean, that's smart, but also this, if that's your psyche, Chris Pratt in Passengers is definitely not the image that you want to be projected.
No, that's why I was like, oh shit, nothing's happening tonight. Unless I have a written agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because if I'm going
Chris Pratt.
Can I just
get you to sign this real quick?
Yeah. I'm not trying to pass it.
And then what about you?
I think I was probably also on a date with my ex-boyfriend. How many exes ago? Well, I think it was one ex ago. It was in Toronto. It was probably already getting pretty cold. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing it at the Eaton Center, which is like kind of like Toronto's Times Square.
Okay.
And I just, I remember sort of the similar vibe at the end, just kind of like silence where everyone was like, what the fuck did we just watch? Like, it's just like, how can you make this movie and not one single executive is like, are we crossing the line with the consent thing? Especially like what kind of was happening at the time when I look at the context, like Me Too was kind of on the rise, you know?
And then also to make it where it's like a joyful movie and then she's just like, she's upset for a little bit and she watches
and
the
plant a fucking tree and all is well.
And she watches the video of her girlfriend's back home, like, I just hope you meet somebody. And then she's like, yeah, I did meet somebody.
Yeah.
And he fucking woke me
up. Okay, can I just say, I mean, it's so,
and I'm in.
It's so interesting to watch this movie as well, like post-pandemic. Like, I don't know who you guys spent the pandemic with. I have the best partner in the world. I love him to death. I spent a year and a half locked inside an apartment with him, and I wanted to fucking murder him. This woman is stuck in a spaceship. There's no other people. At least I could like FaceTime David and be like, we gotta go for a walk. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
This woman, there's no other humanity. And she still loves him for 90 years? Like, she has no other choices.
I mean, are you guys waking other people up?
I would.
They have to. Oh, they should.
Yeah. Or she had the option to go back into the med pod.
Right.
Which is, can we just talk about the scientific logic in this film for a second? Sure. There are some gray
It's a pretty
areas.
Gray area. Yeah. I don't know a whole, listen, I don't know a whole lot about future medical science.
No.
But this seems None of us like. Do. There's, it seems like literally they were just making words up in the med pod,
right?
Tesseract. When Chris Pratt, he comes back by this huge spoiler. Chris Pratt almost dies in like a pseudo nuclear explosion when they're trying to keep the space station from exploding.
He did the Thor thing.
In this spaceship that is basically made of tissue paper if these like asteroids are breaking through it. Like,
they're like,
come
it's
on.
Supposed to be totally meteor proof except for the bevy of meteors that split the ship.
Rip into the ship like, boom.
And also, how is there not any explosive decompression besides just the one room, even though there's like 50 other rooms that the meteors had?
That had a hole in it,
Literally, this
because
movie
of
is
science.
Full of holes.
Yeah. Because of science. Okay.
But so they go, and he almost dies, and Jennifer Lawrence pulls his corpse.
She goes and gets her man.
She goes and gets him from space.
Yeah.
And she pulls him and puts him in the med pod and then goes to the control board and just selects all.
She just elevates it where you do all the buttons. Mm-hmm. Boom.
And there's definitely words in there that like, I mean, resuscitation I've seen, defibrillation I've seen.
Oxygenation.
Oxygenation. I get it. Context clues. Yeah. There's I think I saw like trapezoidation in there. Yeah. I don't know what any of that does.
This had atrophied because he was holding on so long. So they had to loosen that up. It's like a little massage.
You got to get parallelogram arrest. You got to get you in there.
Obviously.
Yeah.
My question is, they do that to him. There is one other character in this. Sir Lawrence Fishburne.
Sir Lawrence Fishburne.
Greatest actor. Love him.
15 minutes.
15 minutes.
In this whole
His
movie.
Pod gets fucked up. We never see that. We never know anything. And then he's suddenly dying.
Yeah.
And they weren't like, let's put him in the med pod. They were just like, well, you've had a good run.
And
it's been about 15 minutes. Yeah.
They put it. Yeah. They put him in the med pod. They don't even try. The med pod's just like, hey, yeah, you're fucked, dude.
You're done.
We can give you a list. Here's a couple aspirin.
Yeah.
Just do all the things. See what happens.
And
like,
that's the like the exposition, you know. Uh-huh. When he's like, "Oh well, my pod's fucked up. It had a bunch of malfunctions, so that's okay. While I'm sick, you're fine because it was just this little shortage. Mm-hmm. But you woke up Jennifer, didn't you?" He's like, "Yeah, I did." He's like, "How long were you? A year? It's kind of fucked up, but I get it. He's sexy as hell."
He's got
he wasn't that mad at him.
Maybe I'm gonna take a walk down the row and see if I can get me one of them.
Lawrence Fishburne's character in this reminded me a lot of, have you ever seen Snakes on a Plane?
Yeah.
No, I have not seen that movie.
Snakes on a Plane is incredible. Snakes on a Plane, there's a flight attendant who's like, it's her last flight. She's, you know,
she's one day away from retirement.
Exactly.
Sure.
And she gets bit by a snake on the
plane. Of course.
Hey. But she.
Gonna happen.
Retirony.
Oh, yeah. But she, you know, she sacrifices herself to save a child. And Lawrence Fishburne really has like that kind of energy in this movie.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, you know, he's a crew member. He's not even like high up in the crew list. He admits that. He's like, I'm just like a deck guy.
Wake up the fucking crew. That is what I want to scream at the TV.
He's got the access to everything.
Wake up the crew.
Yeah, but also the math doesn't check out, right? Mm-hmm. So there's three people awake. Two are awakened by the malfunctions on the ship, right? Mm-hmm. There's like 5,200 people. 5,000 are just civilians. And there's like a crew of like 2,000.
300 or something. Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I think it's like, around 2,000.
Yeah,
so just the math doesn't check out. If Chris Pratt said there were 16 of those little helper robots that malfunctioned. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me out of all those pods, out of 5,200, only two malfunctioned and that whole ship was going, you know, going
Berserk,
haywire?
Yeah.
Yeah, like give me a break. Just the math alone, if all these other systems are functioning,
my thing as well is like
with
5,000 people, you can get a lot of shit done. With four people, five, like you are exponentially growing the amount of problems that you can solve. Mm-hmm. No. me and Chris are going out into this thing.
Especially, he knows where all the other engineers are.
Right.
Yeah.
Wake him up.
Yeah, he's
a
mechanic himself.
And they can put you all back to sleep, and it's all going to be chill. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But you're telling me in 90 years...
I want the cute blonde writer.
Yeah.
The first one I checked the out,
journalist.
By the way.
Exactly.
I want the space manic pixie dream girl who's like got a trust fund and spent her dad's money to get on this ship so she could write about it for a year.
Our dad died. That's fine. Yeah.
250 years later. The ego on J-Law. I'm just going to go.
Okay, first of all, her name is Aurora.
Aurora.
And it's interesting that that's her name. It's the same name that Sleeping Beauty has. Do we see any kind of correlation?
It's almost
Sleeping
like
Beauty get passengered?
I mean, Sleeping Beauty gets kissed against her will. Come on now. The guy sees it through the glass.
But she was poisoned. She was put to sleep by her.
I mean, Jennifer Lawrence
But Jennifer Lawrence signed up for this.
Yeah, but I'm
so
saying it's reversed.
Asking for it.
So it's reversed.
Yeah, exactly. She shouldn't have been in that hibernation pod if she didn't want to get unhibernated.
Shouldn't have looked so cute, Jen. The fuck, Aurora? What are you doing in here, girl?
Wear a sweatshirt and a...
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's part of the problem of this movie, too. It's like there's so much that... Even, you know, there's a lot of people have said huge praise about like the production design of this
Very
movie.
Good production design.
Very good production design. I have a big problem with Jennifer Lawrence's costumes in this movie.
It's a choice. Are you talking about the bathing suit?
I'm talking almost entirely about the bathing suit.
Bathing suits are nice. Her black dress was really nice.
But why does she have like a mesh bikini if she's only swimming what seems like purely for exercise?
Yeah,
science. That's true, but hold please. She didn't know she was going to be passengered. This was supposed to be her
like
going swimming at the beaches on Homestead, too.
That's a good point.
So she was planning to be like socialite.
Because that's a cabana swimsuit.
Yeah, exactly. She was going to go to the pool parties on Homestead, too, which I hear are amazing this time of year. But...
You got to make sure you got to have enough if we're going to talk about Jennifer Lawrence's swimsuits.
Listen, I get
that's
it.
That's why she had that clothing. Right.
The swimming pool itself makes no fucking sense. So you're telling me the swimming pool juts out into space. There's like a glass like
it's got a little
dome
bubble,
type
dome,
situation. Yeah. That glass can withstand space and she can swim out into the ocean. It just doesn't make any sense.
Why?
What is that glass made out of?
Something pretty cool that somebody invented
back
in
the glass not gotten shattered by the meteors. The meteors ripped through the metal of the ship.
I'll tell you what.
Past the shield, right? That was a big-ass meteor. It was eating up all the little ones, and part of it got through. And remember, it diverted all the power from the back to the front.
But I'll tell you how we can fix up this hole, an iPad. And some concrete. Done.
There you go.
A concrete from a fire extinguisher
concrete. Yeah. Spray it on, we're good to
but
go.
But mainly the iPad just blocked it up. Stopped
the smoke. What if there was a fire in there and all he's got is the concrete one? Where was the firefighter one?
You just spray that on fire with concrete.
That's how they should have solved the nuclear reactor problem. They should have got another fire extinguisher and just sprayed
it
on the reactor. It would have been good.
The science in this makes no sense. No sense. Also, like, why is it 120 years to Homestead, too? Like, that's just such a random...
It's 50% of light year is what they're traveling on.
They're traveling 50% of light speed, but it's still, it's like, I don't understand. I wish that there's so much that I'm okay with, like, not understanding in this movie. Like, I don't need to understand how the hibernation pods work and keep you in stasis.
An audience, you shouldn't either.
But I do need to understand why... There are so many weird choices made in the movie as far as like the technology of the ship. Like, why is the ship even talking? Well, remember when they talked to, they're like, hey, look, they're passing by the sun right now. There's a big announcement that goes on over the entire ship.
Why?
That's like,
everyone's asleep.
Why is that? Exactly.
Yeah.
Who is running the ship? Why does nobody know how to wake anybody up? Why is everybody acting like idiots in this movie?
And, the shipper's responding to some of their like requests and it's knowing they're alive. Another thing that popped into my head when you just said that is how much food is going to be left with these two scrounging through shit for the next 60, 50 years?
Yeah.
Because the staff gets up, a year before?
4 months.
4 months before?
Well, thank
the
God.
The staff gets up earlier.
Don't know where the chickens came from. There's chickens running around at the end.
Yeah.
They probably have the
where
eggs
do those
somewhere.
Chickens
they
come
grew
from?
Those
they had
trees.
They had flowers. So they probably have a bunch of storage because they got a, they're colonizing Homestead too. So they, he's probably just digging through a bunch of shit. Now that he's got that new
sorry,
apple
guys.
Bracelet.
We're going to actually have to eat some of you because we've run out of food. So yeah.
That's smart. If you know you're going to eat all of the executive level breakfast, you got to start growing more executive level food.
Exactly.
Another
part I liked, which I wish they would have expanded more, is the company, the homestead company.
Like
they said they made a gazillion dollars on the first homestead and that Chris Pratt has to give 20% of all his earnings once he gets the homestead to plus whatever he ate up during the trip. Yeah, that he owns. So it's like almost indentured servitude. So I wouldn't mind seeing like a sequel with Andy Garcia, who was in this movie for 2 seconds, who had no lines, who's a... Oscar nominated actor.
And he shows up in the trailer and he shows
Wait,
up in the movie for the exact same
movie?
Amount of time.
He opens the door
and
he sees
the
big tree. Yeah. So you can, and I couldn't find anywhere where there was talk of a sequel. Like, why is Andy Garcia, no, not one word spoken. He killed it when he was like,
maybe
wow.
he was friends with
he
someone.
He had a great look.
Yeah, good look on his face. Maybe he was friends with someone.
It's just it's.
He just wanted to come day play, you know.
Yeah, he's just doing it for the love of the bullshit game.
He had to re-up his union card.
Yeah, he's like, I heard you guys got good crafty on set. Maybe I'll come hang out.
Now, here's a question that I have. There's a lot of course, in the reviews of this movie, it's been almost universally lambasted. One of the things that I can't understand why people talk about this, and maybe y'all would understand a little bit better since you saw it at the cusp of its popularity, there's a lot of people comparing this to Titanic. They're saying it's the Titanic for a new generation. And for the life of me, I can't understand why that is the case. Was there really like this vibe when y'all saw it of just like, oh, this is like the great modern romance?
Did anybody care about any of those people in those pods? While you guys were watching this, did you care about when the systems were getting messed up and you thought the ship was going to be stranded or crashed? Did anybody pop in their head, oh my God, those 5,000 people?
Okay, but first of all, Titanic who's saying that? Because that to me sounds like something like a publicity like VP was like, oh my God,
Titanic
so
actually
smart.
Crashed, There's, right? And those people are alive
also,
while going
also,
through that
right,
traumatic
and,
event.
And also in Titanic, you have like a discussion about class and like... Mm-hmm.
And it was literally
humanity,
the bulk class.
Yeah, literally. And like
higher level, lower level.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of touch on that with like executive level and bullshit like that. Yeah. But I mean, Titanic is about a love story. This is about a man who passengers somebody.
Yeah. There's a couple.
Leo DiCaprio is not passengering Rose, you know?
It's true.
He's standing on top of a battleship being like,
he shot his shot and she went for it.
Yeah.
And now he gets to
He
draw
didn't see her.
Her
asleep and be like, sup, lady? you want to get on this door with me? Or what are we talking about? I mean, I guess like the iceberg thing, like the asteroid. Meteor.
That's the only
I guess.
Thing, though. And it's a ship with a ton of people, but that's it.
There's multiple reviews that are like, it's Titanic among the stars, a touching, heartfelt tale of loss and love for the gravity generation.
No.
I feel like someone was paid to write
that. Yeah, that sounds like a thing that a journalist was like, this is so fucking smart, as he like coaxed himself up, like
what,
writing
do you need a couple
review.
Hundred words on this? Titanic?
I got you. I'm so smart.
I think this movie should have gone the Titanic route and let Chris Pratt die.
Yes.
That was part of one of the things I saw. He dies. That's another alternate ending. And then they show her go through the trauma of being isolated. And then at the end of it, she's about to open another pod.
See,
so then she passengers somebody else, potentially. Yeah,
it's because a cycle of abuse.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. Love to see it. Yeah.
Which is another interesting take that I think would have been better than
you
what
know,
we got.
I was trying to do the math too. Okay, so they've got this one medical pod. And for those that haven't seen the film, you can basically go back to stasis, right? And he's like, you should get in the pod to Aurora, Chris Pratt's character. And she doesn't do it. And I was trying to do the math. I'm like, well, what if they did like a year on, a year off, a year on, a year off? Nah, like I was, if they still have 90 years to go, they'd have to do 44 years each in the pod. So they'd get there and they'd be like 75. Yeah,
and you don't want to go 5 years alone, 5 years off.
But I was thinking like 1 year on, 1 year off.
Why didn't they try to both go in it? So that's something that popped in my head today when I watched it again. That's a Titanic
question.
Two people on one
question.
Door.
That's definitely a Titanic
two people
move,
one
yeah.
door
When you're
thing.
Going in, are you doing head to tail or are you doing
no,
face
you
to face?
No, you because at that time
spoon.
They were on a good,
oh,
they're on a good page.
I immediately thought face to face lying on top of each
that's,
other
that's
like
spoon.
A sandwich a little
I'm
bit.
I'm thinking
are you guys
my
side
feet
sleepers?
Fight up here, you know, feet up here. But they only have like the one injection. When they put him under, it's like, I don't know what the science
oh,
is.
Oh, they
we
got
don't
a
know.
Shot to go under? Yeah. I just thought that, I mean, they didn't think about that, right? Like
sure.
get a stick and hit the button, let it collapse on both yeah. of them, see if they both go to sleep.
So why is there for a ship with 5,000 passengers?
There's one backup.
There's one med pod?
Yeah.
Of course.
Riddle me this. So you're telling me they died on the same day? Why didn't somebody go in the med pod after the partner passed away?
To wake up and be like, dude,
to
this
wake up,
happened.
Here's what I did.
Question.
Like,
I'm
they're,
open
say they're 80
one.
Years
rip
old.
It.
Yeah.
I was going to share
it and grip
I can pull
it.
Some in there.
No, I'm good.
Do, he's driving. I'm not driving. I got a lift here because I got passengers.
I passed her right away.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of questions.
this movie raises so many more questions the more I talk about
yeah.
it.
Well, also, it's like, you're telling me 5,000, I have the number here, 5,258 people mm-hmm. are on a ship. No other humans. It takes 19 years to get a message. There was no backup plan. Like, I
39
feel like,
to get it back.
Right. Like, too, yeah. what, like, the oh, space. Like, there's going to be no problems.
Nah,
the ship's
not
going to break
all.
Down. An asteroid's not going to hit. We're not going to go through a wormhole. Like, nothing.
And another riddle me this. When they're talking space travel nowadays, I mean, this is a couple years old. There's, like, routes that'll be taken. Like when people were inventing ships, right? Mm-hmm. People would go those routes and they'd say, all right, don't go this way. It's treacherous. So some event could have happened that put those asteroids there, but there should be a lane
that's not going
through any kind of asteroid field.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And if they're making a gajillion
dollars.
But are
you also telling me, yeah, there's no like, there's no
scouts.
On the way like stops. Like we just did Space Truckers with our friends over at Shut Up, I Love It, right? Another podcast that we all love about films.
Yes.
And there's all these diners at the end of the world. And like, are you telling me this 16 trillion bajillion, you know, dollar fucking venture doesn't have checkpoints where people are like, oh, I'll go start the colony on fucking XYZ.
Sure
especially if it's a cruise style format, then how come you don't have like whatever Space NASA is, right?
Yeah.
6 months on, 6 months off, like,
port.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, pop them out. Let them
wander
it.
Around a little bit.
And why is
see the native culture on the asteroid belt or Io or whatever moon they're going to stop off
I'm going to write a book that people in 400 years are going to read. It's going to be super relevant.
Why isn't it an option, and this just seems like a great business idea, to be able to have people get up out of their pod, say a year or two out, and live that space life journey on the craft and not just show up 2 months out of landing, right? So what if I want to go over and check out a star or a sun. You know what I mean? I just feel like, hey, if you get up early, there's a gold, premium, platinum package. It's a couple extra billion. But hey, you know, you get to live. You're an actual space person.
Right.
You get to hang out.
Because
what
space
good,
man.
Yeah. What good is the having the option to like go have a spacewalk if you're only going to be able to use it for 4 months out of your time there?
There's 5,000 people on the ship. It's going to be fucking booked up as shit.
Yeah, what kind of a fucking line are you going to be dealing with? All right?
I'm not doing that.
No,
I'll go first.
Thank you. I mean, pass.
Actually, I wouldn't do it. I think that seems like a stupid thing to do.
Oh, I'd do that for sure.
You would?
Yeah.
Dangerous.
I would do it, but I would be a chicken about it until like the very, very last week. And then I would psych myself up to do it. And I'd be like, yeah, I would try and really get good at the space dancing game. Which also, why did none of the space dancing people come back and attack them? If the ship's malfunctioning, that's a great place. They could have gotten kicked in the head by somebody doing a breakdancing move.
That was such a lame scene. Oh my fucking God. I was like, do we need this in this very serious movie?
Let's do dance off. Yeah, there's a lot of amenities on that thing for only a couple months for 5,000 people.
Here's another question. Is it a very serious movie? Because it seems like it tries to have it both ways, where it tries to play like this serious drama. And then there's also, you know, of course you need levity in a dramatic movie, but it seems like they're trying to go a little bit too hard in the like cutesy rom-com route. Yeah. It just doesn't seem right. Like the thrilleriness doesn't come through the way it did.
First 30, 45 minutes is just Chris Pratt being all the Chris Pratt we love, you know? Mm-hmm. Goofy, kind of funny, charming.
Well, I was trying to remember where this falls into, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, like, in that, you know, like, was
that timeline?
Yeah, yeah, because he, you know, obviously he's, like, came up through Parks and Recreation, and, like, he is a comedic actor, so I think they were trying to add, like, a little bit Chris Pratt-ishness, but, like, the concept is much more dramatic than other films he's done.
I mean, he had already been in, at this point, he'd been in the Lego Movie, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Jurassic World at this point. And then he...
some solid movies.
Yeah. And then...
He's doing okay.
He's doing okay. Mm-hmm.
He's
like,
married to Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter, I believe.
Yes.
Catherine.
Catherine Schwarzenegger. By the way, he is... Did y'all see any of the shit he was getting into last week on the internet?
Yeah,
Chris Pratt.
He's canceled.
What was he doing?
Everyone's like lightly canceled.
Everyone's canceled.
Canceled light.
Yeah. We always talk about how like everyone's canceled.
Everyone's canceled all the time.
Probably canceled off.
Chris Pratt, yeah, because Chris Pratt, he was married to Anna Faris for a while.
Mm-hmm. Love her.
And then they had a child together, but Max. The child, I guess, had some developmental issues. Mm-hmm. And he left, but then he posted his new pregnant Schwarzenegger wife and also said, she gave me a healthy baby in the caption on Instagram. And everyone's like, Chris Pratt.
I think he was trying to be like, jokey on Instagram. Like the whole post, if you put it in context, he's like talking about like her birthday and shit like that. And it's I mean...
So was it just like, oh, like I'm having a healthy baby, or was it like
No, it was a whole joke.
It was a whole
like about her birthday. Like she shouldn't expect anything because like here's a post about her. Mm-hmm. And like I think he was trying to be jokey. And like honestly, none of us are in their relationship.
No, of course
not. So we don't know how they talk to each other and shit like that. But I recently saw a picture of him wearing a Don't Tread on Me shirt. And I was like, oh, Chris.
He's definitely got like some religious stuff. Mm-hmm. He's definitely like in at one of those Hollywood churches that's supposed to be super inclusive, but doesn't actually like the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Yeah. Real cool. Real cool guy.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt is one of the epitome for me of like having to separate the art from the artist a little bit. And in terms of like,
I'm a big fan of his.
I love Guardians is my favorite. Too,
I mean, Parks and Recreation, like his character Andy, and like just hearing how much he like riffed in that show. Mm-hmm. He's like clearly a comedic genius, and his story too. Living in his car, like about to quit the industry, like it's a very inspiring story.
Yeah, he's like waiting in Hawaii. And
yeah, but like, that's ooh, not good Chris, to hear. Just shut the fuck up, man.
And I do think that this movie has some of his best acting that I've ever seen him in. Like
great acting.
Those first 30 minutes, it's moving.
David's also an actor.
Yeah, like I said, it's charming. But there's some parts like, oh, I got out of the pod. Oh my God, it's bright.
Right.
Let's see you get out of the pod.
But will you cry in an airlock?
Oh, I'll cry in an airlock.
Okay.
I can cry in that goddamn airlock. You're going to be like, goddamn, this guy's going to kill himself.
He's going to go in that airlock and he's going to die.
No, psych. Oh, psych. Passenger somebody.
I'm going to
passenger somebody. I don't need to cry in an airlock. I'm going to make somebody else cry in an airlock. Yeah, I think Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence both did some solid work in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's really just like – I was shocked when I walked away from watching the movie. I was like, that was okay. But it's the worst kind of movie in that the more I talk about it, the more I realize how slapdash and problematic in terms of just like the construction. It just falls apart.
And you know what it is too is like – we all know movies. We all know content. Like, so much can change in the edit. So much can change, like, on the day. And so, to give this movie props, I don't think they went into making this, like, thinking, like, oh, we're going to make a guy get a passenger this girl, get consent, it's going to be this. Like, when they were making it at the time, clearly they thought, like, this is a super relevant film. It's going to be amazing. We're going to put so much money into the production design. The music's amazing. And then just like when it came out, like just some choices, man, like just did not work.
Just go the other way. Like you're saying, if you know it could have been decent and then you pick one little piece or one thread and it just starts coming apart and you're like, damn, well, that's stupid. Other movies that come off well, it might have a hole or two, but you were just like, overall, that was a good experience.
Yeah.
So you don't start picking at it.
Right.
And you might be, you probably can, but you just don't.
Right.
A movie like this, you're like, oh, what else they got here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, like, let's look at some other sci-fi movies, like Arrival.
Yes.
Great film.
Love Arrival.
Very interesting, unique concept. I mean, you know, sci-fi is such an interesting genre because it can be so many different things. Like, you can go crazy. So I love what you guys were saying earlier about, like, if this was from Jennifer Lawrence's perspective, this would be such a unique film because, yeah, there's this creepy guy right here. But it just, like, falls into the Hollywood trap of being, like, handsome, lonely guy picks beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. She falls in love. They have a problem. They save the day. Happily ever after. Cue Oscars. You know, like, just meh. Nah.
It just could have been, Arrival, I think, does an interesting, unique sci-fi story in a much better way. Mm-hmm. I love, you know, Alien is one of my all-time favorite sci-fi movies.
Yeah, we did Alien
in
our podcast, yeah. Interstellar. We did an Interstellar podcast. I've never laughed so fucking hard. Like, that movie's not without its flaws.
Oh.
But.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting, you know? Changing the rules a little bit.
Is it interesting? I don't like Interstellar.
Okay.
I am a huge. I love Christopher Nolan. I hate Interstellar.
Okay.
But.
Hey, Christopher Nolan, yeah.
I can love that movie.
I'm going to. Yeah. That's why y'all are at that table and I'm at this table.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the way that this movie could have been done better is right there in front of them the whole time and they just missed it and it's such a shame.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a bummer. And they should have used Lawrence Fishburne more.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, not a lot of cast.
Not
there.
A lot of diversity. Yeah. I mean, we did have.
I did see that Jennifer Lawrence made more money though.
Okay.
She made about $8 million more than
Chris
Pratt.
Right.
It was 20 million or 30%. After break even.
Yeah.
So one or the other.
And she had won at least one Oscar by this point. If
for
not
Silver Linings?
Both of her
Silver Linings was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got a new movie coming out with Meryl Streep, which I'm excited
That's
about.
That's like a comedy.
Yeah. And, I just saw the trailer for today. Don't Look Up.
And Leo.
Because
I was actually thinking.
Jonah Hill.
When
I was
watching this film, I was like, God, I haven't seen Jennifer Lawrence in a minute. But, you know, movies take time and she's probably been working.
Did y'all see Red Sparrow?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
That was a good movie. I liked it.
You liked
it.
Red Sparrow?
I liked what she did with it. I watched Jennifer Lawrence in anything. I just think she's a great actor.
Roll on. Is she a hall pass, David?
She, you know what?
She's up there.
She's up there for my hall pass.
Shay Mitchell is your hall pass. We've talked about this many
Ooh.
Times.
I mean,
are we changing?
I've just never told my girlfriend a specific one because if I have the chance, I'm just going to say that's my hall pass.
Yeah.
That's a good, I would go Jennifer Lawrence as my hall pass. And this is why,
Ooh.
Mostly. Y'all know in The Office how Michael Scott would say, like, Ava Longoria and me have the same birthday. So if we ever meet, we have something to talk about.
Ooh.
Me and Jennifer Lawrence have the same birthday.
Very
same
nice.
Exact birthday, same year and everything.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
So I'm going to be, that's my
that's
way.
That's your
so
meet cute
when
right there.
When you meet her.
Yes.
That's your aunt.
Yes.
Just don't passengers.
No, I will hall pass. I will not passengers.
So if it was reversed and J-Law passengered you, would you be okay with it?
I would basically have probably the same journey that she did with Chris Pratt, which is like
betrayal.
Very not okay with
doesn't
it.
Doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah. And then I get stuck because of Stockholm syndrome. All I have left is like, okay, we're going to be stuck together for 90 years and you're unwilling to wake anybody else on
what
the ship.
What if they
up.
Get into a fight? Does she put herself into stasis for like 6 months? I'm going to my room.
And then he just yells on the PA system into the void, hoping that she can hear him through the fog. Oh, my God. Well, I can't believe I watched this whole thing.
I can't believe y'all watched it multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so thank you for that.
Times.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. And if you haven't seen this film, you should. There's actually two films called Passengers. One is from 2008. That is not this film. This is 2016.
No.
I haven't seen the other Passengers. But
I would assume it's probably better than this.
Well, someone's probably going into it being like, I don't know what they're talking about. There's no Jennifer Lawrence in this
spaceship.
Movie. Yeah.
Well, Paris, David, thank you again. Yes. This has been a real pleasure.
Thank you. This is awesome.
Thanks for having us.
And everybody, of course, go listen to Aged Like Milk, wherever you get podcasts. And you guys can follow it at Aged Like Milk on all the socials and things.
Yeah, we mixed it up. It's like at Aged Like Milk Pod, at Aged Like Milk. Just, you'll find us.
Yeah.
Our logo, David.
IG, Twitter.
It's like a milk con with like a film.
Spilling
out. Yeah, you know. Yeah. And just let us know what movies you think might have aged poorly and we'll do them on the podcast.
And we're going to have Jay on the podcast soon.
Very
so we're very
some,
excited. I mean, movies.
Something.
We always
stuff.
Talk, again, we always say like, we can shit on a film as much as you like. Every single person that worked on this movie got paid. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of hard work. People probably blood, sweat, and tears. And
experience.
It might not have been the best execution in the end, but I'm glad it exists, even if I can just make fun of it.
If I may take a bit from you guys' section at the end there, I will say big shout outs to the production design team of movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Let me pull up the name. Who got nominated was Guy Hendricks-Dias, Gene Sardina.
Yep.
Both got nominated for best production design at the Oscar for this. So shout out to the
And Thomas Newman also got a Oscar nomination for this for the music. He was best original score.
I thought the cinematography was really good.
I have that here. That is Rodrigo Prieto.
Yes, he's a great cinematographer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love Rodrigo Prieto.
I do want to say, interestingly enough, John Spitz, who wrote Spitz? Spitz? Spitz?
John Spitz.
He wrote this and it went on the blacklist and stuff. He also got a story by credit and an executive producer credit on Dune, which is another great sci-fi movie.
He's been a part of a lot of projects.
And he wrote Prometheus.
Yep.
The original version of Prometheus.
And The Darkest Hour. And interestingly enough, I thought it was interesting because Denis Villeneuve also did Arrival, which is obviously an amazing sci-fi film. And then this was less of an amazing, but they, got to work together. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. We love Denny. Denny's
great.
Inspiring.
Fantastic. Love his films. Love his diner.
Mm-hmm. great diner.
Subtle there. You can find me at Diet J on Twitter and Instagram. JLikeComedy.com for show dates. If you like the podcast, consider telling a friend, subscribing. Maybe get on the Patreon. Huh?
Get on the Patreon. I've been on there for a while now supporting him. And it feels good.
Thank you.
Maybe force someone to sign up. I don't know, wake them up from the stasis pod.
Steal their credit cards, passenger them.
Yep.
Yeah. Give me that executive level breakfast in cash, please.
Yeah.
And that's all there is. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you. This was great. Really fun.
This has been Blockbusting. Go see something good for a change.